Well, that was an excellent children's story on the fly, right? Wow. At the last church I was at, Norristown New Life, we weren't allowed to do anything with pumpkins or Halloween because everybody got very nervous about that. So I'm glad that to see a very well illustrated story and Bible lesson on pumpkins and Halloween. All churches are different, right? You know, we all have our little idiosyncrasies, just like people, right? All right, so this morning, I switched midweek to a different text and a different sermon. So if you're expecting to hear a sermon on Isaiah 54 this morning, it'll have to wait for another time when the Spirit feels it's appropriate. Apparently, that was just my idea of what should be, and it wasn't what God had in mind. This text this morning is, there's actually two verses, one in Jeremiah and one in Hebrews, that say the same thing. I was surprised to find. It says, "This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people." So Jeremiah, the prophet, and then in Hebrews, which was a book that was written to the Jewish people, talking about the covenant that God makes with us, that he puts it, that he will put it, God says, on our minds and write it on our hearts. I will be your God and you will be my people. So last Wednesday night at our Bible study, we had a very interesting conversation at the end of the Bible study. It was very spontaneous about what we remember from sermons. And it started because I said, well, write down something that you remember from this series of Bible studies that you remember. And so then we started talking, and some couple people said, well, to tell you the truth, I don't remember much after a sermon. I just don't remember very much, right? So I kept thinking about that. What do we remember from Bible studies? What do we remember from speeches or people standing up in front of us and talking? And we all really pretty much agree that we don't really remember that much. And there's a reason for that, right? Research shows that on the forgetting curve, that within 1 hour, people have already forgotten 50%, and I'm going to say it's higher than that, but 50% of the information that was presented. And within 24 hours, they've forgotten an average of 70% of the new information. And within a week, you've forgotten 90%. I think that's pretty generous. I think it happens, like, I think by 24 hours, I've forgotten 90% easily of what's been presented. So let's try this, okay? So what's something, and this is not quite fair to people who weren't here last Sunday, but you can remember some other Sundays. What's something that you remember from last Sunday or the Sunday before from the sermon? Can you cheat? What's something you remember from last Sunday? It was, okay, I'll help you a little bit, okay? It was the memorial Sunday for Pastor Mike, and we talked about who? What person in the Bible? Well, Pastor Mike, yes, yes, yes. What person in the Bible was our example? David, right? And we talked about David being man after God's own heart, right? Right, right. So that's part of the trick for remembering, right, is making these other connections. So some of the words that we hear, so this is, so as I thought about it, I was like, well, why do I even need to get up there and preach then every Sunday if people don't remember it anyways, right? No, just, but we talked about this on Wednesday night. Some of the words that we hear are just for the moment, right? They encourage us to live in the present, and it reminds us that God's with us, that God's present with us. So what you're hearing right now is just a reminder. God's with us. The things that I hear are just, maybe just for now. The songs that we sing, right? In the moment you're singing it, you're interacting with it. You're feeling things. You're responding. You're worshiping God. It doesn't matter if 5 minutes later you forgot that we sang footsteps of Jesus, footprints of Jesus this morning, or that we sang about being still. But in the moment you responded, in the moment you thought about following Jesus, in the moment you thought about being still. Some words that we hear are not for the past. They're not for the future. We're just supposed to rejoice and enjoy the moment. And we can trust that God and through the Holy Spirit will bring back things that we need to remember. Sometimes when I'm preparing a sermon, I'm walking or I'm driving and I think of something like, oh, that would be great to put in there. And then I don't have anything to write down with. I don't have anything to, I'm somewhere where I can't write anything down. So I just pray, okay, Lord, if you mean for that to be in the sermon, then remind me about it later. So that happens to you too, right? There's things that God will bring back to your mind. Oh yeah, I remember that last week when somebody was sharing about Pastor Mike, they said this. And it's something that you need then in that moment. So we need to be okay with that, right? We can't remember every little thing. And our brain kind of picks and chooses what we remember and what's important. And those memories then become the things that kind of become an ongoing part of us. But the rest of the stuff, sometimes I hear something and I already know that it's going to go right through because it's not something that I really need to remember. It's not something that it's going to change my life. And I just don't have enough brain space left to keep everything. So in order for us to really remember things, that information has to be changed into a usable form. Okay, so it has to be something that we can use at some point. If you hear something and you're like, oh yeah, I need to remember that person. Like somebody tells you their name, and it's somebody from church here. Like the first Sunday I came here, I was concentrated so strongly on remembering people's names because it was so important for me to know people's names as quickly as I could. Sometimes people will tell me their name. I know I'm not going to see them probably ever again, and their name just goes right out. And sometimes I have to say, I'm sorry, but I need to ask you your name again because I don't remember it. So to make our memory stronger, the way that we remember things, and I think it was Jeff who said this on Wednesday night, is that you have to have an emotional, it has to be like an emotional response to things. So you respond to things, you remember things because you connect with them, because they make you feel loved or they make you feel sad or they make you feel angry, but there has to be like a emotional connection. So I think we can agree that we want to remember the Word of God and that we want to remember the teachings that we receive from God's Word. And God, in fact, in these verses, promises that He's going to put those laws in our minds and write them on our hearts. And that's part of our process of growing in Jesus, is that we begin to build up, our thought processes change because of what we've heard and how it becomes part of us. I think May talked this morning in the prayer group about you know, having our thoughts, asking God to transform our thoughts to his thoughts, right? Talk about the renewing of the mind. It talks about God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So in our desire to seek God, our desire to learn from scriptures, and our desire to grow, we make those emotional and spiritual connections to remember God's word, to remember what God has spoken to us. So we talk about, so Kim mentioned this morning, like, can I cheat, right? So these are some, I'm going to give you just a few little, not cheats, but a few little ideas about how can we better remember things. So one thing is, when you come into a place where God's word is going to be shared, or even if wherever you are, right, even if you're listening to music in the car or you're talking with a friend, maintaining an open heart and being spiritually prepared to receive is important. Some people, Sandra talked about this morning, sometimes you come to church and you're like, oh, so many things are happening, and you are just not really, your mind is so full of other stuff that you can't really hear what God is saying to you. So then you don't remember it because you're trying to remember all these other things. So come as much as you can to church, to places, to God's word, to, I'm not just talking about sermons, right? I'm talking about the larger openness to God's will. But come with an open heart, being ready to spiritually receive. And then acknowledge that God's always trying to teach us, God's always speaking to us, and God's always working in our lives. So this is an openness to hearing God's word, and that openness itself will help you to be prepared to hear and remember. Like the song that I've sung before, maybe you sing here too, forget about yourself, forget what you, all the anxieties you're carrying with them, and just concentrate on God and worship God. Let's forget about ourselves and concentrate on him and worship him. Then when you hear something you want to remember, write it down. People who write things down, they solidify, right? They confirm, they rewrite what they've heard, and that helps you to remember it. Reading and rereading something that you want to remember helps to keep it fresh in your mind. For people who are visual learners like me, unfortunately today, because of the switch in theme, to see something on a screen or on a PowerPoint helps you remember it. So if you write it down, that helps you be able to read it and see it. And if it's up on a screen, or if you have your Bible, if you're reading a Bible verse, some of us, me for example, I'm a terrible secretary because I can't hear stuff and write it down. I have to see it. I have to read it. Some people can just sit and listen and they're fine, but I have to look for the verse in the Bible. I have to look for things so that I can read it and see it visually as well. At Wellspring here, we also have this wonderful practice of sermon response. If you are listening to something and you know that you're going to have an opportunity to respond, you listen very differently. When I first started sermon response I don't know if you remember when this practice started, when Pastor Mike started it, but when I started sermon response in our congregation, it took like 6 months before people could actually respond because they weren't used to listening to respond. They were used to just listening. And so when I would say, okay, now we have sermon response, they would use it as kind of like a prayer request time. Like, oh yeah, well, you could pray for my, and I was like, no, I want sermon response. Like, listen to the sermon and then respond, or read the verses and respond. So when you're listening here today, you're listening differently because you know you have a chance to respond. And people will more likely respond. So if you're just Yes, if a sermon is just spoken and you're just listening, you don't come prepared, you don't write anything down, you don't follow the scriptures in the Bible, you're not like interacting with the scripture, ready to respond, then yeah, you can't expect to remember anything. I was at a service on Friday night, a prayer vigil at Narsetown New Life, and it's a 3-hour service, and it's supposed to be praying, but we spent at least an hour and a half, and this is at 11 o'clock at night, listening to a sermon, right? I was completely tuned out. I was tired, and I didn't hear anything. I can't tell you anything about what, especially the last pastor talked about. So that's my fault, right? And I might have missed something really good that I could have used in my life, but I didn't. So hearing God's word spoken by someone else may easily be forgotten. So we take another step. Deuteronomy 6 encourages us to make God's word as part of every aspect of our lives. So Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments I give you today are to be on your hearts." Okay, again, like this word is supposed to penetrate through. "Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." So the word of God is meant to be something that you live and you talk about. So last week I had the children's story. If you remember, the kids were really like kind of active, and I don't know if they really heard much of what I was saying. They were, you know, playing around with the crowns and things like that. But Eloise sent me a message that said, "I just want to let you know that on the way home and in the afternoon, I talked to them again about the story, about the crowns of righteousness and about, you know, Hop-Up being in heaven with his crown. And today, when I went downstairs, Hope is drawing a picture of a crown with hearts on top," right? So maybe she didn't hear it the first time I talked to her about it because she was thinking about other things, but Eloise then reinforced it, right? And then so today she's drawing a picture of it. So she heard it, but she heard it because of this extra step that we're taking. So we hear the word of God. We love God. We know God's word is important for us. And so we talk about it with other people. And some of us have scripture verses up on the walls. I remember Jen saying she has like sticky notes of different things sitting around. So this is part of allowing God's word to come more deeply into our hearts and minds. Hearing God's word spoken to us by a sermon, by someone else in a sermon every Sunday is not really enough to feed our spirit. Okay, so don't count on just this one half an hour, 20-minute time that you're hearing God's word as what it is. That's enough. It's not enough. We have to learn by dwelling in God's word ourselves. Okay, so we think about the fact that Jesus, it talks about Jesus and it says, you know, that Jesus was the Word of God, right? God, Word of God in flesh. And we think about God's Spirit being with us. So we're going to do just a little activity now. Because yesterday I was with the leadership team at White Home and I Church, and we spent some time doing an activity called Dwelling in God's Word. And we did that a little bit at our table fellowship the other week when we read the verses over, and each time we thought of a word, then we shared the word with other people. So that's dwelling in a word in community. So So the idea is that we come before the Lord and begin to read, right? And then you stop reading when you feel God drawing you inward to himself. And then you remain in that place, okay? So if this is something you're doing at home, you might, you know, it might be like a random scripture. But you start reading it until you, like, until there's something that kind of stands out to you, and then you just stop there. Like, to read the Bible for information is not the goal, right? You're trying to read the Bible so it's transformative to you. Don't try to simply understand it with your mind, but we want to try to understand it with our spirit and with our heart. So let's just take a moment, and just we'll use, because there were a lot of songs this morning about this, be still, right? Be still and know that I am God. So you take a moment and just close your eyes, and it's a very short verse. I think it's Psalm 46. Oh, wait. I guess it's Isaiah 46. I didn't write. This just came to me during the... So, help me. Where's that verse? Be still and know that I am God. That's what I thought, but I didn't see it. I have my Spanish-English Bible, so maybe it was...
46:10.
That's what I thought. Okay. Psalm 40... Oh, okay. I was looking at 11. All right. So take a moment, okay? This is just... We're just going to use this one first part of this verse. A dwelling in the word moment, okay? So this verse says, be still and know that I am God. So just take the first word, okay? Put your emphasis, your mind on the first word, be. Just be. Still and know that I am God. And go back. Just thinking about being right now, being. Let's put an emphasis on the second word, be still. Be still and know that I am God. Go back to the verse and focus on the word know. Be still and know that I am God. Know that I am God. Recognize me as God. Know in your spirit, know in your heart. Be certain in your stillness that I am God. Be still and know that I am. I am. God says, I am. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. I am the everlasting God. I am. Be still and know that I am. And the last time, focus on the word God. Be still. And know that I am God. God, Jehovah Jireh, provider. God, the healer. God, the all-powerful, almighty. God, the center, the creator. I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Only a couple, just a few words. But as you dwell in those few words, it can be summed up in a complete experience, a complete formational experience, a reminder to be who you are in Christ, a reminder to be still, to stop and wait for the Lord, a reminder that we need to have that confidence, that knowledge of who God is. The reminder that God is, I am. And the reminder of who God is, God's character. That is just a simple example of what dwelling of the world could be like in your life. And I don't know. It may be a meaningful practice for you, it may not. It's been meaningful for me. And then just to end this message, the most powerful way that we remember God's word is when we put it into practice. And what we remember is important, but what we live is more important. Are our lives being transformed by God's word? If we live in a culture that loves information, and we may not realize what a radical suggestion it is to hear God's word and read the Bible to be formed and transformed. Ezekiel 33:31 says, "My people come to you as they usually do and sit before you to hear your words, but they do not put them into practice. Their mouths speak of love, but their hearts are greedy for unjust gain." And Jesus tells the parable, the story, in Matthew 7:24. He says, "Whoever hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash." When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. So as a pastor, I try to be careful to prepare a sermon that will encourage and teach and strengthen you. But my part and the sermon time is only a tiny piece of our complete journey, the Word of God. And the truth is, most of the things that I say on a Sunday morning, we're all going to forget. Except those things that the Spirit highlights in you, except for those things that you write down, except for those things that makes a emotional and spiritual connection in your life, and those things that you tell and retell, those things that you put into practice in your life. And so some of the responsibility is on me, but most of the responsibility is on you and on your own life, just like I carry responsibility for myself to study God's word, to dwell in God's word, to put God's word into practice and to live it. So we're in the same boat together. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, and if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Does anyone have a response? Something to add to the word this morning?